grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer. Well, hello everybody, and welcome to episode 289 of the Dudes and Beer podcast. Chris Jordan, your host here, coming at you from Austin, Texas. Before we get too deep into our conversation with our amazing guest this evening, let's please do not forget Dudes and Beer is now officially brought to you by PodcastCadet.com. If you're a fan of podcasting like I am, love podcasts, love to listen to them, thinking about starting one for yourself, friends, family, fun, church, school, whatever, even for your business. It's a great way to be able to get your business out there and to actively write off another end of your advertising is to have a podcast for your business. That is what we specialize in there at Podcast Cadet. It's helping people design, build, launch, brand podcasts, as well as distribute and monetize them. One-on-one counseling, one-on-one audits is what we provide, one-on-one training as well, workshops, all kinds of fun stuff. Stop on by podcastcadet.com today. The code that you want to use is DUDES20 in your cart to save 20% off your entire purchase on the way out the door. Our guest this evening is the indomitable John Hall. He is the author of the amazing book, Guinea Pigs, Technologies of Control, as well as A New Breed, Satellite Terrorism in America. We will be talking this evening about the original. Here lately, we've had Dr. John Hall on. He has been our resident coronavirus conversation. Whenever we've been talking coronavirus, the science behind it, things like that, John Hall is who we have brought on because he deals with this stuff on the daily. So we've had him coming on. He is here amongst a great trove of guest books. We've got Aaron Montgomery coming on soon, author of Dirty Little Secret, Confessions of an Alien Contactee. We'll also be having Graham Phillips on soon to talk about The Hunt for the Staff of Moses. I just got his book, The Templars and the Ark of the Covenant, and I am about a quarter of the way through that already. And man, it's awesome. I love his writing style. And then one that I picked up just for fun for my kid, Jonesy, Nine Lives on the Nostromo. It's literally like a little action book about the cat that Sigourney Weaver has in the movie Alien, and the nine lives it experiences during the movie that you never ever get to see. Pretty wild. If you got kids and you're an Alien fan out there like I am, stop on by and check that out. I'm going to pop that into the Dudes and Beer store. All these books are available in the Dudes and Beer store. Make sure to stop on by dudesandbeer.com for all of the articles that we will be talking about tonight, as well as the documentation for MK Ultra, Project Monarch, all that kind of stuff. All these documents are in the knowledge vault. dudesandbeer.com/knowledge is where you can go. The section that you want to hit there, whenever you head over there is the declassified government programs and documents, as well as the scientific documents and studies. That is where we will be drawing from tonight. And whenever you hop over there to declassified, you'll see all of this stuff, like bio effects of selected non-lethal weapons, Project Horizon 1959, MK Ultra, Operation Monarch, all kinds of stuff in there that are declassified government programs, as well as great stuff from other sources. So welcome to the show, Dr. John Hall. How have you been doing, my friend?
Good, Chris. Just been busy with the medical practice, with all the COVID stuff, and trying to see patients in a safe and healthy way, and get San Antonio kind of reopened and kids back in school. So it's been pretty hectic.
Well, and what has that been like for you guys here, I guess, kind of on the backside of 6 months now? Whenever we first really started covering this, it was with you, my friend. It was before it was declared a pandemic, all that kind of stuff. And now here we are on the backslide of 6 months, I just had literally my first gig outside of this home studio in 6 months, and that boggles my mind. So,
well, I've been in my office was really busy even during the complaint shutdown because it's because I, you know, do pain management. So, you know, we stayed open in a safe manner, mainly to lessen the demand on the emergency rooms. Because, you know, if the pain management offices aren't open, then when people run out of medicine or they need injections or they need particular procedures, they were going to turn up in an ER. So the whole goal of that was to kind of keep our patients having a place to come outside of an ER. So, it really actually increased our busyness because a lot of offices did just go ahead and shut down rather than do virtual visits or, or try to ration out their PPE. So, it was really pretty busy for us. But I was thinking about that today, how, you know, I remember some of our first shows before this actually hit as a pandemic, kind of warning people that it was coming.
Yeah,
and also warning people that, as it turns out, that this was a manipulated virus, you know, so, because I remember us talking and going, you know what, the original picture showing the guy or the lady eating bat soup, and now all of a sudden, this bat virus is in humans and it's all around the globe. I remember specifically telling you that there's no way that can happen. That would be like me going out into my horse pasture and, you know, catching an E. coli infection from the horse manure on the bottom of my foot. And all of a sudden it went global from the bottom of my foot. It just, it doesn't happen that way.
Yeah, precisely. It's, it just doesn't happen that way. And it's come out more and more, that at the very least it was manipulated. Now, nobody's saying it was utterly created in a lab, folks. Nobody's saying that, you know, I just brain farted. Excuse me. SARS-2. Nobody's saying that is not a naturally occurring virus, but rather that the protein spikes that it shows show the fact that it has been manipulated in somehow through gain of function technology.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's what that latest virologist that defected from China said, specifically that those protein spikes were manipulated to make it more infective to human beings because the virus itself in its natural form didn't appear to want to infect humans.
Yeah. So. And just so you folks know, John Hall hipped me to this. We text each other back and forth all the time. I love it, John. The side conversations that we have in the world. But he made a really good point to me one day that, you know, Chris, you should really put this up somewhere before it disappears. So I did. I pulled the actual SARS-CoV-2 genome suggests sophisticated laboratory modification. I pulled that study, and it is available.
And what happened to it?
It's still up on the Dudes and Beer site. So,
yeah, it's not on the site where I got it for you.
No, it is not. Exactly. That was redacted and pulled rapidly from numerous sources. So whenever you were like, hey, check this out before it disappears, I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to check it out. Like within 10 minutes of that, it was up on the knowledge vault for whenever we had this conversation. Because I didn't want, Li Mingyan. I didn't want her work to disappear. This is something that people really need to be aware of, that yes, even though we are not funding gain of function research in the United States, that does not preclude us from outsourcing said gain of function research, which is exactly what happened like 5 years ago. So now
what remains to be seen is what vector they use to spread it globally. Mm-hmm. Did they use their own citizens? Did they infect Uyghurs with it and send Uyghurs out to different countries? But they obviously got it out of China, and everything looks like that was done with some intention. So,
well,
and like I told you before, this may be a beta test, biological warfare is a thing. We research it. They research it. Every industrialized nation does. And it might be one of those things. Well, we need to see how quickly we can spread a virus that maybe is not so lethal. So if the time comes when they want to spread one that is fatally lethal, they know exactly what the time frames are and how to get it spread globally. So,
well, and even the concept that we have floated before, which is what our intelligence bureaus are actively looking into, is what if it was an accidental release and they just did nothing? They just did nothing to go, well, let's see what happens. You know, and at the very worst that's going to happen, we're going to get a whole lot of business because we're the ones that make all the PPE. Like when they do hit a PPE shortage, they're going to be coming to us anyway.
And hopefully some of that's going to change. I think that was a good wake-up call to the United States that we need our manufacturing back.
That's
even
right.
Even if things cost more because you have to pay Americans more to make it here.
Pay it. Pay the money, man. Pay the money. There's a beautiful picture that explains my industry that I see all the time, and I'm sure you've seen it as a filmmaker, John, where it shows like the Mona Lisa, then it shows like a crayon drawing of the Mona Lisa, and it says like the client asked if I could do it cheaper.
Yeah. I've seen that, yes.
And that's exactly it. Like, pay the money, man. Just do it. Pay the money, do it right. And that's where we're at right now. It's literally the fact of, we'll see what comes down the line, what monkeys shake out of the tree, so to speak, with these situations, because it's not often, John, that these things come to bear, with rapid turnaround. You know, it's not often that we have a senatorial hearing, the likes of, like what happened in the '80s, you know, whenever the, missiles were traded, or the Contra affair, you know, the Iran Contra, things like that. And even to go into, to start getting into our topic for the night, programs that are intended to take advantage of people, programs that have been researched by our governments, by other governments, by black budgets, by universities, even taking part in these studies for mind control, for controlling of the brain, creating technologies that do just that. And to know that, yes, there was a Senate hearing on Project MK Ultra that happened back in, oh God, when was that? The '70s? 1977. Yeah. And that's actually up on screen right now. Just the Joint Hearing Select Committee. And that was something that was denied for years and years. It took the family of a scientist who died, mysteriously falling out of his window in New York, it took his family suing the federal government in a civil suit for it to come out that the program MK Ultra actively existed.
And there was a handful of civilians in Canada that did sue and win because the Canadian government had reached a deal with the CIA.
That's right.
To allow them to experiment on Canadian citizens.
Yeah.
And a lot of that was through McGill University, which is where the Brain Initiative research is being done right now, which was started by Obama.
And you know, it's really interesting the fact that when you start going through these relationships, even right now with what's going on with coronavirus, they have had to institute new regulations regarding international students, visas, all kinds of stuff, because just before all this COVID started in December, there were the students that were arrested that one of them was a former member of the Chinese military, former lieutenant in the Chinese army, and was here studying, believe it or not, folks, biochemistry, was caught leaving the country with 21 vials of unknown biological material headed to Wuhan, China. And that was in December, you know. And even that doctor who was in that program and his deposition to the FBI actively told them that he went over there and helped found and start a nanobiology lab in part of his affidavit. So, like, it's regular that the university system is pulled into these projects, that is where money for development of these projects is spent, where a lot of this research is drawn from. Even right now in Austin, we have the Future Warfare Department that is embedded here in Austin. I remember watching the entire press conference on Facebook, and I was like, my God, they ain't even putting this under any cover of darkness. This is like they're having a live press conference right now saying we are embedding these military people with graduate programs in robotics and, you know, computers and engineering to find the new world of warfare and weaponry. And it's just phenomenal to me that people still don't have the concept that this goes on.
Well, and for your listeners, I mean, just so they do realize, because I know I deal with a lot of victims of technology, so does Dr. Robert Duncan. And one of the questions that we always get is, well, why don't you have all the answers? We're looking for all the answers. We want a simple solution and all the answers to why this is happening, how it's happening, and how to fix it. And I'll tell you why. No one has all those answers. And the way the government does its research is so highly compartmentalized that they will have 10 different universities plus DARPA plus the DOD plus a CIA lab all working on 1/10 of whatever, you know, 1/10 of the piece of the entire puzzle. And they do that because that way nobody knows what the entire puzzle is. And, you know, you may have a couple of universities working on, you know, child behavior, you know, watching children and how they behave and how it can be modified. You'll have somebody else at another place working on how to receive signals out of the brain remotely without putting leads on the scalp. You'll have somebody else working on, you know, how to entrain the brain with a different rhythm and heterodyne, the EEG. And then you'll have somebody else working on the solid state equipment on how to remotely transmit it and how to remotely receive it. And, you know, and there's the really, it's only the people at the very, very top that know how all those pieces are coming together. Because a lot of times, especially in the university setting, if you look at the abstract on what the research is actually supposed to be, it may say, you know, observing behavior of children from 8 to 12 years old on the playground in order to better society and, you know, and lessen, you know, animosity and, sure, and childhood reactions. Yeah. But in reality, it's not that. It may be that at the university, but the information that they're gleaning from that research is certainly not being used that way at the top. And it's the same way with remotely being able to sense the EEG and the brain waves of the brain. You know, initially that research was done because pilots had a long history of falling asleep on when they were doing sorties in a military engagement. If you remember back in World War II, they used to give the pilots amphetamines to keep them up because some of these pilots were flying and literally flying 24 hours in a row. Well, you know, when you fly pilots like that, they tend to fall asleep in the cockpit. And remote sensing of the EEG was the initial research on that, was so you could put these leads on a pilot, you could remotely monitor them for when they fall asleep, have delusions, have hallucinations, or start dreaming, and then you could zap them to wake them up while they're, you know, in the cockpit of the plane flying military sorties. Well,
that'd be hella fun going 800 miles an hour.
Get zapped, jolted away. Yeah, but well, once they figured out that you could actually remotely capture, you know, the brain waves or the EEG, well, then it's, well, how can we manipulate this for other uses? So, I mean, that's one of the reasons where when you talk to people or victims get a hold of people, nobody has the answers. And, you know, and that's not even just in the domestic thing. I mean, we were talking privately, you and I, about the thing with the Cuban embassy workers being attacked, and Catherine Werner was the person that voiced the same complaints from the Chinese embassy.
Yeah.
You know, they're not getting answers either, and they're government employees.
Yeah. Yeah, precisely. I mean, these people are embassy workers. And it's not just our embassy. It's not just American embassy workers, folks. There were Canadian embassy workers that were harmed in Cuba. Not to mention the ones in China. And straight up, like, here is the documentation right here on screen from futurism.com talking about China's new weapon, a sonic gun that vibrates your brain. These things exist. They're out there. It's technology that is considered quote unquote anti-lethal, non-lethal. They're used to, as we've seen in numerous situations, used to quell crowds, stuff like that. They were famously used, the voice of God weapon in Desert Storm. If you remember the troops that by the platoon on the Iraqi side were known to just hear the voice of Allah tell them to lay their weapons down and surrender. It was literally just platoons of them that would put their weapons down and put their hands up and then attest to the fact that Allah told them to do it.
And that system was called S-Quad, Silent Sound Spread Spectrum.
Yeah.
And for any of your listeners who want to look that up, there's quite a bit of information out on that S-Quad.
Yeah. So. And there, even in the last year, it came, or two, within the last year and a half, 2 years, I know 2 years ago they announced in a white paper in Jane's Defense Weekly that soldiers were now able to control up to 3 drones via brainwaves with their helmet technology that they've come out with. And then in addition to that, they have come out with the new laser system that is like the voice of God, where it is able to actively put voices into people's heads by cranial vibration using a laser, kind of the same way that they use a laser bounce back system to listen to a conversation in a room window, you know, except
and,
for the fact
and, you know,
that they're
for your,
vibrating
for your
skull.
Listeners, this has been worked on for a long time. But long before that, we had Neurophone, which, you know, you could put a probe basically anywhere on somebody.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and make them hear voices through that. Of course, it required touching the person. After that, we had Audio Spotlight, which I personally have an Audio Spotlight system. Mm. I mean, because I do this kind of research, I needed to see if it worked, and it does.
Oh, yeah.
And it uses ultrasonic waves that actually get converted back into an audible signal. And that's what people, I think a lot of people that do not know a lot about this technology can't understand that, well, how do you put voices into somebody's head where no one else can hear it? Well, it's done because it's an electrical signal. The audio transmission that they're beaming to you is on a electrical signal that once in your brain, your middle ear in your brain reconverts it back to an acoustic signal. So, I mean, and that's why I remember when that embassy was attacked. I mean, I was on your show and I was on a couple of other, big shows, and they're like, well, they're saying this is an acoustic weapon that they're being attacked. And I remember the day that news came out, I said, this will not be an acoustic weapon. It'll probably be a microwave weapon or an ultrasonic weapon, but it won't be an acoustic weapon, because acoustic weapons are line of sight and they don't go through buildings, at least not well. There are some now that they can actually get through walls. But they lose a lot of their power going through walls. And sure enough, I mean, what the people in Pennsylvania, the doctors in Pennsylvania examining these victims, they initially came out and said that this looks like it's probably some type of microwave weapon. And then they were shut down from saying anything more. If you've noticed, there's been nothing else in the news about Havana syndrome.
Yeah. They have not mentioned anything about Havana syndrome, and that's just it. Like, they came up with a name for it because so many people were affected by it and reported the same symptoms. So and even right now on screen, I've got that from fizz.org. Pentagon report investigated lasers that put voices in your head, and that's from 1998, that report, just so you know, folks. Like over 20 years ago.
Well, and if you notice, I mean, the minute, because when they sent those victims to private physicians at UPenn. The government's probably thinking was, we're going to send these guys to some private physicians. We're not going to send them to CIA or NSA-based physicians, who already know what this technology is, by the way. We're going to send them to private doctors who will run a bunch of tests, come up with nothing, and probably the last thing they're ever going to suspect is microwave technology. Yeah. And I'll be damned if they, I'm pretty proud of them as private physicians that they finally came up with, this looks like it was probably some type of a microwave weapon, because I was just cheering them on going, way to go. Now, I don't know how many of them actually sourced my information to come up with that. I mean, I'm sure some of the victims probably did a little bit of their own research online and probably found some of my work, but they did come up with that. And the minute they came up with that, Psychology Today started shooting them down. Several other medical journals started shooting them down, and the government continued the gag order on the victims, put a gag order on the doctors, and that's the last you heard about it.
Yeah, and I've got the New York Times article up right now saying microwave weapons are the prime suspect in ills of U.S. embassy workers. That's how far it went, folks. Like, New York Times, just so you know, it's not something like the Sun or Mirror UK that maybe you might not believe, or Fox News, or whatever your predications are. There's New York Times. That's pretty major, coming out and saying, like, microwave weapons are the prime suspect right now. And like we said, that was a couple months before that article came out. I remember whenever that came out, you came back on the show and we were talking about how you were vindicated by that article.
Well, and that's the reason, if people go to Guinea Pigs Technology of Control Facebook, I put up Catherine Werner's mother's article that she did, I believe it was either ABC or CBS. And she mentions when her daughter complained of getting sick, she went over to China. And when she was in that same, basically dormitory type room where her daughter was living, she began getting sick too. And they describe hearing buzzing, you know, in the air, you know, having constant headaches, having facial twitching, you know, hearing high pitched chirps. So they got that the place had been broken into, that they would come home and find lights on that they didn't leave on, that furniture moved around. I mean, they voiced all the same complaints that targeted individuals source here. Same complaints, except this was by somebody employed by the government. And in that article, you'll read that even Mrs. Hughes, her mother, says that she feels like she was getting misinformation from government officials that were dealing with her daughter's illness, that they weren't being given correct answers, and that her gut feeling was that they knew exactly what her daughter was being attacked with and were intentionally keeping it from the public. And as a matter of fact, most of these victims complained that the targeting continued once they got back to the States.
Yeah. Yeah, precisely. It was the fact that it didn't stop. Their symptoms abated, but they did not cease. And like you were saying, they reported break-ins, all kinds of stuff. And let's go ahead and start kind of cracking the nut on that part of the conversation, Doctor, because that's kind of the big elephant in the room whenever it comes to talking about targeted individuals. And even whenever I've had conversations with people in the communities that we're both mutually akin to, when targeted individuals come up, it's something that can make a lot of people squirmy, and more squirmy in the fact of uncomfortable to talk about than squirmy in the fact of they don't necessarily believe the possibility. You know what I mean? Because, like, sure, everybody's willing to talk hearsay and conjecture about aliens, you know, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, what have you. But when you're talking about somebody maybe creeping around in your attic, maybe stealing parts of your identity, perhaps even, you know, going through and messing with your credit, your debt, parts of your life, things like that targeted individuals experience, in addition to having drawers rummaged through, in addition to hearing things in their house, hearing conversations, even now, as Julian Assange claims, hearing voices in his head, which to me, whenever I saw that article come up, I was like, I immediately texted it to you. I was like, wow, this sounds like move number like 28 out of volume 2 of the Let's Hide It text, you know, like,
yeah,
it was like, let's start targeting him with electronic harassment technology. Let's start making him think he's crazy. And the more he tells people, like, man, I'm telling you what, dude, I'm starting to hear things in my head. The more it just make him seems like he's crazy. And are you really going to believe what he says if he is brought back and brought back to expose things that perhaps other government entities have done upon the American people and the rest of the world?
Well, and I don't think it's so much as that. They know that they can't make people not believe what he has to say, because what he's doing is just releasing troves of emails that you can read for yourself and come to your own conclusions. I mean, we know the government's corrupt, both sides.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not picking sides on that. It doesn't matter which side you're on, the government's corrupt. You know, government is basically, it's self-preserving. You know, I mean, whenever you hear anybody from the government say, we want to help the little guy, or we want to help kids, or we want to help the poor, typically that means we want to control the kids and control the poor.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know, out of, you know, any, you know, grand wanting to help or do good for the world, typically. I think probably more what they're trying to do is that they're afraid they're not going to get him back here to actually the trial. The other thing they're afraid of is that Trump is going to pardon him. And if Trump pardons him, then there's going to be a lot more coming out about the other side that they don't want out. So I think probably the targeting is probably more hoping to drive him to suicide.
Well, I guess the point of fact here really is the fact that, like I was saying, targeted. There's no reason that he would randomly start hearing that. There's no reason that would randomly start happening. He's not necessarily known to be like a hallucinogenic drug user,
he didn't become schizophrenic in his 50s or 60s or whatever he is.
Yeah, that'd be pretty late onset schizophrenia. Sounds like a drug commercial, you know, like, do you suffer from late onset schizophrenia?
So with him, I don't, that's why I don't think it's to discredit him as being mentally ill, because even if he's mentally ill, he can still own WikiLeaks and he can still get his sources to mine material for him.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's more, they figure if he caps himself, then WikiLeaks goes away completely, because I'm sure WikiLeaks probably has the goods on the Republican Party just as much as they did the Democratic Party. So
absolutely. I consider them to be kind of along the lines of Anonymous, where they are an equal opportunity exposer, you know, and there are mutual people that we both know that recently, whenever a certain documentary came out, a decent reporter lost her job. And it was quite literally, from what I know, due to the fact that, Roger Stone was brought up in a documentary.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, if you can't deal with the fact that the dude that you know might be involved with this, you're actively part of the problem. That's just how I feel about it. Whether it's Epstein, whether it's harassment, whether it's corruption in government, if you really cannot handle the fact and go through such denial that you get rid of a good employee that did a great job because they exposed something that maybe you don't like, I can't give you any credence at that point. That is not a search for truth.
Well, and you know, another article that I think you posted it and I posted it as well. For those who don't think targeting happens on a grand scale, there has been a lot of people targeted by homeowners associations, people that want somebody out of their house, and they basically go through all these grand efforts to basically run them out of town or run them out of a neighborhood. But, you know, the most recent one was the security officials at eBay. You know, they had a handful of people that had made complaints against eBay for mishandling funds and mishandling merchandise. eBay just got brought up on charges for some of their security personnel actually harassing some people who filed complaints against eBay. And it was all, and it was the same techniques. It was the, you know, the gaslighting and the, you know, altering their payment status and all, altering their accounts and, you know, taking money out of their accounts and sending harassing emails and harassing letters and reporting them to the police as crazy or dangerous or pedophiles. I mean, it was right out of the gang stalking handbook.
Yeah. And that's what people don't realize, is that whenever we're talking about this stuff, it happens. It exists. It's no different than human trafficking. You may not want to think about the fact that, and most people confuse human trafficking and human smuggling. You know, human smuggling is a lot of what we see here in Texas, where they literally find like an 18-wheeler with 20 people in the back of it in a Walmart parking lot. That's normally human smuggling, not human trafficking. Human trafficking specifically involves convincing somebody to go do this. The other way around, people are normally paying to come across. And that's different. So when you're talking about, normal stalking, when you're talking about that kind of stuff, there's one thing. But when you're talking about like what you were just saying, where members of eBay were specifically targeting users and going after them and making them appear certain ways digitally, that's even the danger right now with TikTok and all that kind of stuff. If you want to get down to it, is the fact of they're spoofing MAC addresses. And if you can spoof MAC addresses, and if you can record and change keystrokes, that means you can steal that person's digital identity and make them do anything. Anything. They could go out and buy 28 hours of child porn and make it look like it was your phone that did it.
Yep.
And that's disturbing. That's dangerous.
And that was real common with a lot of the early targeting.
Yep.
Especially back in the 90s when phone spoofing first got to be a thing. You know, that wasn't possible until late 80s, early 90s with cell phones, where you could take a couple and you could say a married couple, and you could text that wife and make that text look like it was coming from the husband's phone.
Yeah.
And they would text her and they would say, well, you know, I'm no longer happy being married. I've met somebody else. I want a divorce. Well, then she basically, you know, gets a hold of him and says, what do you mean? And, you know, why are you texting me this? And he says, I'm not texting you. Yes, you are. It says right here that you want a divorce and that's somebody else. Well, you know, of course, then the next thing the husband wants to do is take his wife to a psychiatrist. You know, he's like, I'm not texting you. I don't know where you're getting this. And
are you
texting yourself? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I saw that cause so many problems among victims early on. Well, I think people have finally kind of got in tune with that's and it still happens. It's possible.
Sure.
But I mean, you know, targeting at a point where it becomes organized stalking, or, you know, slang term is gang stalking, is actually organized stalking, where it's done as a business. And there are companies you can hire to do this. There's one in San Antonio. It's the one I wrote about in my first book. And you can, if you're running a business and you have a competitor and you want to drive that CEO to suicide or create havoc or run them out of town, then you hire this group and they do organized stalking to the point where, you know, that person finally kind of gets the drift that somebody wants us out of town, and they gather up their family and they move, you know, or they try to fight it. And the more they try to fight it and the more they ask for police help, then the closer they get to a psychiatric diagnosis. Because after you call the police 20 to 30 times because the shoelaces have been removed from your shoes, or the pockets have been cut out of your jeans, or because you're hearing vibrations in the room or hearing sounds, or your garage doors are opening and closing on their own, eventually you get a psychiatric referral.
Well, either that or you get a you get a DNR, do not respond. It's not a do not resuscitate. Yeah. And that's in that situation, Doc, it's a do not respond. You know, like we've had so many calls and complaints from these people. Like, I'd love to call and complain about my neighbors having raging parties all the time and just tearing my wall down. But I can only do it so much because eventually they're going to make it a do not respond call. Because, like, this dude's just an old crank. And it's like, no, literally, like, things are vibrating on my bedroom wall. It's 2 a.m. I slept out on the couch on Wednesday night. Last Wednesday night, I slept on the couch because of it, let me tell you. and right now, I'm actually going to bring up one of the... Let me see. Here it is. View. This is one of the many, many things that we have gotten from listeners on our website, folks. And this is, as far as I know, as far as I have put on the website, it just says Vic, listener, targeted individual. And these always get elicited every time we have you on, Doctor. Typically within a week or so, I get one or two responses like this. And, you know, it's like, I'm a targeted individual and could really use some help. I was listening with your broadcast with Dr. John Hall. You seem to have concern for people in my plight, which is hard to find and hard to get people to believe you. People who believe you don't seem to know how to help or just won't. Life goes insane with zero explanation or no reason. I'm the same person in an insane situation. As the victim, you're stuck trying to figure it out on your own. The police and government are no help. Apparently, they are involved as well. And it goes on from there. I mean, when I got my first email like that to our website, I'm getting a little choked up right now, Doc. After having you on, that was literally the catalyst for this show to change into what it has become now and really catharsize, kind of cocoon and recollect and go, wait a minute, people are listening in a different way. And I can't just sit around a table and gab anymore. I have to have people on like Dr. John Hall who are having these hard conversations in the world that are actually happening. Addressing problems that are actually happening in most people, like that good listener and targeted individual said, people just don't believe you when you talk about it. That's one of the big reasons why I started the Knowledge Vault on Dudes and Beer, was so that at the very least people could see I wasn't just talking out of my rear, you know, that I wasn't.
And that is a big problem. With targeted individuals, because they are going through a lot.
Yeah.
And he's right. There really is very few people listening. And now, are all the police in on it at a local level? I don't think so. As a matter of fact, that has started to improve, because I've actually had several victims in the San Antonio area that have called police. And actually, the police have actually told them, well, what you have going on sounds like electronic harassment. You know, I know a little bit about it, but I don't know what to do to help you. And I don't know even how you would report it. And so, I mean, it is at a local level. And now certainly there's bad cops. I mean, you may be in an area where you have some type of a citizen patrol that's working in cahoots with a couple of your local officers. I know here in San Antonio, when I wrote my first story, certainly there were local police officers involved with it. But most of them, by and large, just, you know, they're trying to get through their shift. And I mean, when it sounds something that out there, they may know what it is or know of it. They don't know how it's done, and they certainly aren't going to know what to do to stop it. It's one of those situations where the technology has grown way far in advance of our judicial system to do anything about it. And that even goes with, I mean, I had people, one of my neighbors flying a drone over my house. A few months ago. And I don't mean like it was 200 feet in the air. I mean, it was 10 feet in the air in front of my front door, scaring my wife's friend and her little kid.
Okay.
You know, and I call the police out. And, cause I mean, I do have some of the same operatives that actually harassed me and my ex-fiance live around here. So we called the police, did the right thing, filed a report. And even he told me, he goes, well, he goes, the laws are kind of unclear. He goes, if we can track it back to where it lands, then we can go and ask permission of the owner to see the footage to make sure that there's no through window footage or inappropriate footage is what it's legally called, meaning footage of you naked in the house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I said, well, then next time it's hovering 10 feet in front of my front door, then I said, just shoot it down, right?
Because you're not allowed
to shoot a firearm off in the neighborhood. So, and that's why they've made these little guns that shoot a net, you know, and things like that. So you can actually just drop it
the
ground without destroying it. Well, then you know whose it is, because if it's a $1,500 drone, they're probably going to come to tell you that it was their kids or have some lame excuse to get it back.
But bring it on over. It'll cost you the cost of a drone to get it back.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll sell it to you for 50 bucks less than new.
Yeah, or take it inside and plug it directly into the outlet and fry the electronics in it. So, I told the officer, a good young guy, and I said, well, what would you do at your house if you saw a drone hovering around your windows and 10 feet in front of your door? And he goes, oh, well, I'd shoot it down. And I said, but I can. He goes, well, I'm a cop.
Well, I remember, God, man, and this was back when drones, like before they passed the FFA regulation, or FAA, not FFA, Future Farmers of America has nothing at all to do with the piloting of drones. It's the FAA. Before they came up with the FAA regulations and the fact that you had to have a drone operator's license when it was just the wild west of drones, there was the story out of Florida. Of the guy in very much the same situation as you, doctor, where he was just in the backyard. His wife, a comely lass, was in the backyard sunbathing, and up popped the neighbor's drone over the fence as usual. And the dude was barbecuing and just happened to have a good aim with his beer and threw the beer can, knocked the drone out of the air. And as it fell down, the blade hit his girlfriend's nose and chopped the tip of her nose off. and it was like, oh, man, what a horribly comical story. but that is literally the realm of technology that we are dealing with now. I sit there at conferences and I've got friends that I've watched live Wi-Fi hack people's cell phones from their laptop at the tech booth because they're bored.
Client
didn't really provide a Wi-Fi. Let's see who's got something that I can just pop into real quick. And they literally just hijack somebody's phone Wi-Fi and start cruising the internet on their phone without them ever even realizing. Well, not on their phone, but using their Wi-Fi connection, like using their hotspot. And it's like, wow. That's crazy. This is a dude at the back of the room with a modicum of knowledge and a few little apps that he can click on his phone or on his computer that show him what phones he's available to get into. It's nuts. So the fact that this technology is out there, is no doubt in my mind anymore. And anybody that has doubt, like I said, feel free to visit the Dudes and Beer Knowledge Vault. There are tons of patents there from the Hemisphere Seek process, from the Monroe Institute. Even right now, the Monroe Institute is doing a study on a way to actively control your dreams through lucid dreaming.
Yeah, I mean the all of the research that kind of centers around being able to control or manipulate the brain has really blown up, especially since we started the Brain Initiative research. Remember there was a lot of money got dumped into that. And some of it is probably going to be good resources. I mean, some of it's to help handicapped people, operate artificial limbs or operate electronics using brain waves. But a lot of it is going to be used you know, for, you know, nefarious reasons as well. It always turns out that way.
Yeah, precisely. I mean, there, and that's just it. Once you, I've tried to explain to my wife, not necessarily the nefarious end of some of these things, but the rabbit hole that some of these things lead to, kind of like DNA programs, you know, where it's like, yeah, let me pay some money to have my family DNA researched, and you send them a DNA sample. Well, great. Now you've joined their bank of DNA that they hold right to. They could very well sell your swath of DNA to, like, Pfizer. And if your DNA is what comes up with the cure for cancer, buddy, you ain't getting plum nickel one. Like, you actively just paid them to bank and sell your DNA, you know? And that kind of stuff is coming out all the time, that is the actual fact. Like, they now have curative right to your DNA sample, to your genetic code, because they sequenced it. So they can sell your genetic sequence to pharmaceutical companies, and those people can develop pharmaceuticals off of your DNA sequence. Like, it's like you were saying, the technology is developing so rapidly, so fast, that the legislation has not had an opportunity to catch up with it, much less the legislation of the fact that there is still no law that precludes the experimentation upon the American public.
None. And that's the other thing I'd like to address with some of the
Please.
Comments I've seen from some of your viewers, is their inability to get their doctor to listen to them. Well, that I can also explain to you, that when people come to their physician, for one, most of the time you're going to go to a family doctor, you're going to complain of targeting, and it's going to sound like mental illness to your physician, because that's how we've been taught. You know, I mean, all through medical school, somebody's hearing voices, hearing music in their head. It's, you know, auditory delusion, and it's either delusional disorder or schizophrenia.
Man, I've been screwed since I'm 20.
If you happen to get a doctor who has heard of this, and a lot of physicians now have, if you happen to get one that has heard of it, they're still going to be scared to do any diagnostics on you. For one, because most of the state medical boards have made it such that you can't just go on an expensive wild goose egg chase to look for implants in somebody. And most of these people are still of the thought that they have some type of implant. Most of this technology is not done with implantation. It stopped being that a long time ago, because there's more effective ways to do it without having to assault somebody to put a chip in them. And then a lot of people said, well, what if it's nano? Nano's being spread in the air. Well, if that were the case, we would all have it. And we would all
That's right.
Showing symptoms of being a targeted individual. So
yeah.
It still is done by selection, but it's not being done by implantation. It's mostly being done by what we would call broadcasting or transmission. And and the physicians that you go to are scared to go chasing around for stuff according to the whims of the individual. Because when they don't find anything, for one, it makes them liable, because then the patient, the targeted individual, is going to say, well, I came to you to find a chip, and you MRI'd my whole body, and
yeah, you're part of the system.
You're part of the problem. For one, they're afraid of that happening. And for two, most of the state medical boards have said that if somebody comes, including ours in Texas, that if somebody comes to your office complaining of targeting, that if you don't refer them to psychiatric help, that you're committing malpractice.
You are now liable.
And the state actually comes after you for that malpractice claim. So
yeah. And I mean, I can utterly understand that from a doctor's liability point of view, to not take that on. Because you are making a statement, you are saying something, whenever you, and even you, like you said privately in conversation, like you've said on this show numerous times, it just happened to be when your book came out, and it wasn't that there weren't hearings on your license when your book came out, when your books came out, both of them, guinea pigs and a new breed, when both of them came out, you know, So you've been through that ringer. You've gone through the gauntlet and the fire. So you definitely know what it is for a doctor. And now, it's way different than what it was then, you know, and you were one of the only doctors. You were up there with a few people, very, very few people that were researching into not only this, but implants in general. You know, yeah. And most of those people lied within other communities of fringe and had numerous discredits to their name through different sources. You know,
well, and one thing I know, when I read your post, and I think you read mine, but I would like to answer one person that is a targeted individual that did reply to one of your posts.
Please,
that mentioned my support of FFCHS, Freedom from Covert Surveillance and Harassment, and mentioned Dr. Robert Duncan. Well, Robert Duncan and I have kind of worked together from basically different views on targeting. He's a physicist, and looks at things from his experience of actually working on some of these projects and working on the physics end of it. I had the benefit of being able to look at this from looking at a bunch of different victims and looking at it from more of a medical perspective. And luckily, both of us do have connections within the intelligence community to get verification, yay or nay, on certain hypotheses and things like that. But as far as I know, I noticed when you're posting, he supported Freedom from Surveillance and Harassment, and, you know, they were corrupt. Well, you got to remember, my first book came out, was it going on almost 20 years ago, 2001. Yeah. You know, at that time, there was no other group. You know, the only group that was advocating for targets at that time was Freedom from Covert Surveillance and Harassment. Yeah. And did they have their problems? Yes, they did. But at the time of that writing, it was the only group that I could actually refer people to. And I think it is kind of still in an incarnation of itself later on. But, you know, at that time, you know, I mean, not to advertise for another radio show. But
No.
The first radio show I did after my first book came out was Coast to Coast.
Yep.
And while I was being interviewed by George Norrie, my email got so many emails that it filled up. I had something like 10,000 emails over the course of 2 hours that I was on, and probably another 10,000 a day after that globally. So, I mean, you know, it really came to light at that moment that, you know, I was writing about a local problem, you know, a local issue with one particular person and a group that I knew was doing it and what I had found out by counter surveilling these people. But what it turned out to open up this global phenomenon. And at the time, Freedom from Surveillance and Harassment was really the only group to point people toward.
Yeah, precisely. And that's just it. These things lie in such a fringe. Like, even now in the UFO community, who are you going to with a report other than maybe your local MUFON, you know? There are some other local groups and things like that, but are they as accredited? You know, do they have that provenance to them? Do they have that pedigree? As much as I hate to say it, you know, in such a science that is fringe science, and even this lies in the realm of technology that exists. We know that this technology exists. There is no doubt. There's no doubt whatsoever that I can put a band on my head. Hold on one moment. I'm going to get up from camera shot real quick, folks. Here is my brainwave headband right here. It's that big. It's not hard at all. Fits right on your head. Bam. There it is. And I can actively monitor all five of my brain waves. Not only that, I can drive these synthesizers behind me using my brain waves. I actively have music that I have made, not touching the keyboards at all, only using my brain waves to trigger the synthesizers. That's technology that's available to me for less than $250 in my home studio. Now, imagine what's available to a major research facility with, you know, a couple million dollars brought to it, or with that's just what my mad brain comes up with here at home. So I can't imagine what scientists who are paid to be that mad and just sit around and go, what can we do here? What possibilities come from that technology and that technology meeting in the middle? You know? And once you start looking at it like that, it takes on a fractal aspect. It really does. Once it, like, it is just a windfall of things that you could do once you start marrying what's out there as far as remote brain sensing, all that kind of good stuff. One of the articles that I posted in this episode post right here was, let me see, where is it? It's talking about new technology that they can actively control your dreams, from Harvard University, where they can actively make you smell things in your dreams, make you remember things, make you recall things, all kinds of wild stuff. So when you're talking about this being a reality, like, that's not even the realm of science fiction anymore. You know, that is quite literally the fact of reality. There's no doubt about it. Like,
well, and one of the reasons that, you know, at least in our research where we kind of got away from looking for implant for what by implants, if it was done by an implant, we can find those. You know, those are easy enough to find. And if it was as simple as bringing people in, removing an implant, you know, like Bob Boise had down in Georgia, you know, the NSA implanted him with a Verichip. You know, they were tracking him with a Verichip. And, you know, it formed a lump in his shoulder, did an X-ray, there it was, had a surgeon remove it. Unfortunately, he got melanoma around it where it was implanted. If it were that simple, this would already have all been come to an end. Because, I mean, we've been in this fight since the late 80s. I mean, it was early 80s. When prisoners in Utah State prison system first complained of this technology being used on them in a cell during an experiment. Yeah. And they specifically said in their notes, they said, I heard voices in my head that were appropriately responding back to my thoughts back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and they described an intensity, an electronic field in the cell that was so repressing that it was hard to even get up off the cots. So, I mean, this has been around for a while. If it were being done with a chip, we would have already had a solution to it. And it's one of those things where, you know, technology expands every year. It gets more intense and more intricate. And as technology gets better, then the mode of delivery gets better as well.
Yep.
And one of the MK Ultra researchers that did the Stymo receivers in the brain, M. Delgado, did the brain implants early on before his death. Even he said that the days of needing to implant somebody are gone. In his exact words, he said, all of this can be done by broadcasting now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and
well, and that's just kind of going right now into the world of Neuralink and things like that, where it will be something that you wear outside, like what I just showed you. You know, it's no different than a Bluetooth device that you put behind your ear. And you have that kind of technology at your disposal. You have the ability to do that. And even right now, there's theta waves going on in your head right now with that music, folks. I made that. And this is specifically theta wave relaxation music made to increase the theta waves produced by your brain through entrainment. My God, I'm shameless, John. But it just dawned on me that I'd posted one of those on Facebook the other day. And I was like, that's a perfect opportunity to show people that, like, yeah, this kind of technology is used regularly. If you're out there listening to, like, relaxation music, that kind of stuff, us artists that make that music use that technology on the regs to be able to put in binaural beats underneath the level of music that you're listening to where your brain hears it and picks it up, but your ears don't hear it at all.
And that is actually using binaural beats is one of the ways that a lot of people have learned to combat the targeting as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a double-edged sword. You know, that some of that technology is kind of being used to do the targeting. Some of it can be used to defeat the targeting. But, you know, the technology exists, and it is one of the most reported crimes on the internet that nothing is being done about that you can ever see. If you Google targeted individual, pages and pages and pages of stuff come up. Now, one thing I will say is, you know, one of the biggest complaints I got about my book, Guinea Pigs, was that it kind of seemed like a political rant. And to some extent it is, and I'll tell you why, is, you know, we're never going to have a group of victims that can amass the amount of money they need to hire the right scientist in the right numbers to actually, you know, invent countermeasures to fight this. I mean, the change is going to have to be political.
Yep.
And it's going to have to be more congressional hearings, like you mentioned, like the Rockefeller Commission, like the Church Committee hearings, like the Acre hearings that were under Bill Clinton.
Yep.
Because for those of you who don't remember, you know, we experimented on people with radiation across this nation too.
That's right.
In the 40s and 50s.
That's right.
And all of those people that were dying of radiation sickness, guess what they were told? That they were crazy and that there was nothing wrong with them. Well, you know, that all came to light in the Acre hearings, and then they had to issue an apology. And if you tipping same thing with the people we experimented on with the Tuskegee experiments, with the Guatemalan experiments, typically what happens is this experimentation goes on. Everybody's told they're crazy that's affected by it for 40 years. Then 40 years from now, a journalist will discover that all of us were experimented on with electronic harassment. And then whoever is the head of state or head of the State Department at that time will come out and, you know, give a, you know, soliloquy or an apology, you know, to the survivors of the victims, who most of them will be dead by then of natural causes. So that typically is, and that's the main impetus for writing both of my books, was so that wouldn't happen. So it, you know, as crazy as it sounds, it's in the public domain. People can think it's crazy or people can believe it, either one. I really don't care.
That's kind of how I feel about the show.
Out there. So maybe there'll be some survivors of this when we can finally have a government hearing.
Hey, there were people that said folks were crazy when they said that, like, everything that brought us into Vietnam did not happen, and come to find out it didn't. It's regular. I say it on the show all the time. I would like to find one time where our intelligence agencies have been brought before Congress and have not been found to be actively lying to Congress. It's their job. It's just subterfuge and hiding things and lying is their job. That's specifically what we pay you for. So, no.
Well, and you know, the other thing I hear commonly from victims or the people they're trying to convince, because what's most disconcerting to victims is when they talk to their family members and they try to explain what's going on with them. And a lot of it's based on what they've experienced and what they've read online. And the first question that just about every victim gets asked is, well, why you? I mean, you're an unemployed housewife, you know, living in KC. And why would the government want to spend, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on targeting you? Well, you know why? Because they can. And because typically the people that are experimented on are exactly people that they can experiment on.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the head of state. It's not the billionaire, because that person probably has the money to hire a high powered private investigative service to do counter intel on what's happening to them. Well, the average citizen doesn't.
Well, and it's also probably not the person sitting in an office of cubicles around 100 people all day, you know? Because those things will have leaks to other people. If you're trying to test technology, things like that, you want as much of a controlled aspect as possible, in that realm. And just to kind of bring this topic to bear real quick, because like you're saying, so many people bring this to a different realm, start viewing this in a different way. Even I myself, whenever I first started researching into this, and whenever I first found you and your work, Doctor, it was one of those that I'd heard about it. I remember hearing you on Coast to Coast many years ago, and it was one of those like, this is interesting, this is strange. But once I started digging into the topic, once I really started reading about it, and started tying these ends together between technology that I knew existed, even with the work, like I was saying, that I do with my own music as a creator, you know, like, yes, I physically change people's brain waves with my music, designed to do so. So if I can do that in this little studio right here, imagine what I could do with a few million dollars and some transmitters. And to know that now, and I think it's interesting now for us to bring up the topic real quick of this new, I guess you can call it study by a few doctors, that have come out and basically been, moved to make, a study on the Dr. John Hall story, a case study in the putative, quote, haunted people syndrome. And like you said, it's interesting to go through and see these scientists here that did this study. I have definitely gone through and started trying to find them. Here is the actual case study, folks.
They're all over, and only one of them that assisted on some of it's in Dallas. But and just so you just like to make it clear, I was not interviewed for any of that.
No, you were not.
Not by mail, and not by voice, not by phone, not in any way.
Yeah,
but I am kind of proud that, you know, a simple country doctor from San Antonio, Texas, can write two books and generate a cottage industry for a bunch of psychiatrists and psychologists.
Well, and you know, even the abstract that they list goes, research suggests, quote, a haunted people syndrome, HPS, defined by recurrent and systematic perceptions of anomalous subjective and objective anomalies. And it's wild for them to go into things. They go into all kinds of stuff, all kinds of theory, but what they never ever talk about is a single notation in either of your books to the technology. Not a single one. Not a single one, folks. And I have read this 22-page document numerous times. It's a great read, I'm not going to lie. To put this into the realm and to put these situations quite literally into the realm of paranormal phenomena, paranormal phenomenology, technically, not phenomena, but paranormal phenomenology, that they follow the same phenomenology as people who experience, let's say, you know, a haunting in their house, or who might be experiencing something along the lines of a poltergeist. But as someone who spent my time researching that literally out in the field, no, man. especially not after the letters I've gotten, after the letters I've seen from people, and the emails that I've personally gotten from folks, as well as the technology that I am aware that exists. Not a single time, once again, in that study, available on the Dudes and Beer Knowledge Vault, because it's got to be, Doc. It's knowledge. But it's one of those, like, no, go through and read this, and it is utter trash and tripe. It's horrifying, horrifying. It literally.
Well, and you know what? One interesting. The one thing I will give them credit for is a lot of targeted individuals early, very early on in their targeting. You know, if I catch them that early, or they contact me that early, nine times out of ten, I get them, and that's what they'll say. They'll say, "I don't know. if I'm experiencing a haunting or if I'm being messed with, and you're probably being messed with, you know. And what's really odd is that during the writing of my first book, I had a girl that used to come and house sit for me when I would have to leave town for work for days at a time. She'd come and watch the animals. Well, at one point, the harassment had gotten to the point where I came home and she was ready to go squealing down the driveway in her car. And I could tell she was concerned. And I'm like, is everything okay? She's like, I don't know what is going on. It's like your house is some kind of a receiver. There's a buzzing in that house that's deafening. Your animals are all doing weird shit and acting like there's something in that house. And whatever it is, I don't know if it's a haunting or what, but I'm out of here. And it was really just the amount of energy that was being put on the house from surveillance equipment.
Sure, sure. Especially if you're talking microwave equipment, all that kind of stuff. And even what I found really interesting, Doctor, was right as you and I started exchanging back and forth about this study, you were literally telling me about people that were parked down the road from your house for days on end. And the fact that, like, hey, guess what? People have come back again. the people watching me have come back. And not that you aren't working on more work, not that you aren't working on another book, things like that, but it's more the fact of, once you brought this to my attention, it was like, I wonder if that study alone popped Dr. John Hall back up on radars.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but I know one thing I will tell your listeners, if you're experiencing this, soon as I saw another private investigator park outside my driveway, I walked right out there up to his window and said, can I help you? Mm. You know, don't be fearful of that. I mean, the biggest thing that I've noticed with targets is they're easily convinced that this is some type of law enforcement, and maybe somewhere in their past they've done something bad that they need to be worried about, and maybe it's a legitimate investigation. I guarantee you it's not. And the other thing is when you have PIs go around to your neighbors trying to convince them that they're FBI and that you're under investigation, make sure you know your neighbors and that you know them pretty well, because you'd be surprised how many times neighbors will fall for that. They'll flash some fake ID and say, yeah, well, we're hanging out here because we're watching this person. They're a drug dealer. They're a pedophile. And the neighbors will actually go along with that without asking for legitimate ID. So the best thing you can do is know your neighbors. If you see somebody sitting at the end of your driveway all night long, walk right up to the window and ask them what the hell they're doing there.
Yeah, man. Literally walk up with your camera and start taking pictures of the car.
Yeah.
Start taking pictures of the license plate.
Unfortunately, they legally can sit on a public roadway in front of your house. So long
anybody
as they're not on
can.
Your property, they can legally sit there.
Yeah,
but they can legally sit there with you knowing they're there and you walking up and getting their plate number and getting a picture of them.
Yep. So that's just it. Just as much as they've got the right to sit on that public roadway beyond the easement of your sidewalk, that you've got a right to go up and take a picture of the car that's constantly parked in front of your house because it worries you, and I'm going to inform the police about it. You have that right.
I can only speak to what I did, but I went out there, got the plate number, ran the plate, found out who it was. Yes, it was a PI, and I went and sat in front of his house one evening. So, you know, he stuck his head out. We waved at each other. Haven't seen him since. So
you got a little bit more gumption than Mokes, though, Doc. I got to give you that, buddy. even than some of our mutual friends, you have more gumption than, which is what I love about you, because you are unapologetic about this. And that is what drives me. That is what gives me the courage and the strength to be unapologetic about it, to say that something has to be done. At the very least, it's the fact of investigations need to be opened. Court hearings need to be had. It needs to be another
church committee or Rockefeller Commission. And that's what I mean by it being political solutions. And, people want to hear, well, you can come down here and I can give you a shield that's going to block it completely. That's not going to happen. We need to get outsiders in government so we can have a congressional hearing and bring the intelligence community to bear. And that's going to mean outsiders. And that's why I wasn't the biggest Trump supporter in the world. I mean, I'm really kind of libertarian. I don't fall between parties, not to get into politics. But somebody is going to need to be in there that is completely an outsider. And the only good thing about Trump is he was victimized by the intel community. If anybody has impetus to bring them to the table at a congressional hearing, it's him.
He's been the only president to do anything, anything about human trafficking. To say it's a problem, to say it's an issue, much less to make a presidential decree declaring it illegal. So that was phenomenal to begin with. And you know me, we've had numerous private conversations. You're privy to just about everything I do in my life on social media. So I'm no fan of the man necessarily, but it's one of those like, hey, they all do some great things in the background, you know. The question is, what are you doing in the foreground? Are you doing things, and what we really need to hold their feet to the fire with, folks, anybody that we're bringing into office, and really let's worry more about our House members and senators. Really all the president can do other than pardon a few folks before he leaves office is throw some baller parties without permission. That's really it. Like, he doesn't hold a whole lot of power, you know. He holds the power of veto to say, go back and rewrite that. That's really about it. So the rest of it is all by permission of Congress and the House. So pay attention to those people. Those are the people that we need to hold the feet to the fire of and say, why is there literally not a law that makes it illegal to experiment on the American public? Why does that not exist? Why is there not a law that establishes your digital identity as a person? Like all those annoying pop-ups that you get, all those annoying pop-ups that you see 10 seconds into an article on screen on this show that are like, accept cookies? Those are all from EU law. Every one of them, not a single one of them from the United States. Those are all from EU law saying you have to tell people that you are collecting their data. We have not a single law in the United States that says this is your definition of what a digital identity is. Nobody can steal it. Nobody can do these things. And to know that that same law exists medically, that we could be experimented on, that things like MK Ultra, that happened, gratefully happened in other places like France and Canada, where they doped water supplies for small towns to see what would happen, that kind of stuff. But it could have happened here. There have definitely been cases and studies where they have shown the fact of like the state of New York all of like 7 or 8 years ago was pumping diesel fumes into rooms with kids that were wards of the state, you know. Hell, man, even eugenics laws existed in the United States until 1978. I was 3 years old when, I want to say it was like 45 states in the union decided that if you were under a certain IQ, you were sterilized and not allowed to breed.
Yeah, and that was Buck versus Bell, if anybody wants to look that up.
Feel free, folks, because that's like literally within my lifetime. That is within the last 50 years that passed. So there, people are not aware of these things, Doctor. And I think that is the sad point of fact. Is that most people see the politic that is on TV. They see the politic that will be happening, that is happening right now, you know, with the presidential election, with the debate, with all that stuff. I remember, I've got to find the clip. I've got to go through. It's like 5 hours of audio. We did like a 5-hour live stream during the last election. And I remember maniacally laughing because I'd had quite a few beers by that point. Maniacally laughing, saying like, we get, our system is built to give us exactly what we ask for and deserve, ladies and gentlemen. And that is absolute truth. Our system is built to give us exactly what we ask for and deserve. We have asked for this. We have deserved this for a very long time. It is time for people to wake up politically. It is time for people to wake up and realize that these laws exist. These laws are on the books. These laws happen. They're real. And we've got to get it figured out, man. We've got to get it hammered out for the sake of humanity and our minds in general. Because if we continue to allow the technology to develop without the legislation, we're going to end up in a rife situation rapidly. And we're already pretty close to that point as it is.
And that's why we're going to need more congressional hearings like the Rockefeller Commission, like the Church Committee hearings. We're going to need outsiders that, you know, that have some ethics involved in government, not the same old people that have grown old, you know, working in both houses of Congress. Yeah. There should be term limits to prevent that from happening.
Yeah, man.
No one can convince me by your 30th year in Congress that you're not on the take.
Or that you know how to get things done.
Yeah.
If everything's still the same and it's 30 years later, proof of fact, you do not know how to get things done. And the fact is, folks, as we come up to election, as we come up to these things, if your candidate is not for term limits, think about that. And I'm talking about congressional and House candidates. If they are not for legislation to rein in their own power, you need to consider the fact of why somebody's career is politician. Because
exactly, it was never intended to be that way.
It was never intended to be that way, ever, not once. As a matter of fact, most of our founding fathers, including Benjamin Franklin, thought that representatives should only be reimbursed for expenses. So, think about that as we move forward, folks. And John, thank you so much, as always, for coming on, sharing these hard facts with people, because like we've said, it's hard. It's a hard pill to swallow. It really is. It's not an easy one. It's an uncomfortable one. It's an uncomfortable conversation to have, to say that governments, black budget projects, contractors, even companies like what you were saying, corporations like eBay, specifically targeting people and changing stuff about them. This stuff happens. It's out there. And it's a whole new world that is quite literally a new breed of satellite terrorism in America.
Terrorism.
Like you couldn't have a better title that literally sums up what it is, to be shameless about it. So tell everybody where they can go to get their copy of A New Breed, Satellite Terrorism in America, as well as Guinea Pigs, Technologies of Control.
Both of these books are still available on Amazon, or Barnes and Nobles. And certainly you can keep up with my post on the Facebook page, Guinea Pigs, Technologies of Control. For targeted individuals out there, if you're looking for a book that kind of to go over what it is generally and explain it to the layperson and your family, have them read Guinea Pigs. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Because and that's a great way to put it, to explain it to the layperson, because there are many of us out there that have spent years just tunneling into data, and it's been one of my hobbies since I was probably about 20-21 years old, just researching black budget projects and diving into, like, you know, it, since you could find archives online, diving into things like the FBI archives, CIA archives, like those things are on my RSS feed on my phone. So quite literally, whenever the FBI like releases a new document dump, I get an alert on my phone. Like, it's there in my daily news feed that the FBI made this big data dump. So, there are ways to follow this stuff, folks, while you're online checking all that out. John, please do hold the line for me. While you're online checking all that out, checking out the great work of John